We're doing the Chafetz Chaim, we're on page Mem Dalid, and the Chafetz Chaim had been discussing the prohibition of talking idle chatter in a Beit Knesset or a Beit Midrash. We're going down to the footnote. And being that we're discussing this topic, the grave prohibition of talking idle chatter in shul, I think it's fitting to mention the great stumbling block that's created through this error. And it's as follows. What we find often, a person starts telling his friend, he's sitting in shul, and he tells him, you know what happened to me this week? Now what he's about to tell him is steeped with Lashon Hara and Rechilut. You know, the guy we always thought was so honest. I called him up to pay his bills, and suddenly he says he paid. And I say to him, where's the receipt? And he says, don't you remember I gave you cash? And I say, no, I never accept cash. And suddenly the guy's denying that he owes me money. Here I trusted him for 2 months. And then, so the stories go on and on. People sit in shul, and they're telling Lashon Hara to one another. Kodem Kriyat HaTorah. Now, where do people start talking? After they finish Shmoneh Esrei. The Chazan is saying his Shmoneh Esrei. So what am I supposed to do while he's saying his Shmoneh Esrei? What I'm supposed to do is pay attention. Listen quietly, respectfully. But what do people sometimes do? They make a mistake. They start talking. V'kodem Gemar HaSipur Putrinam Likor BaTorah. Now, you're in the middle of the juicy part of the story when they start reading in the Torah. Now, you don't want to stop in the middle of the story. What are you going to say? I'll tell you later. What are you coming so from now? We were talking throughout Chazar Shatz. Now you're not going to talk during Kriyas Torah. So a person feels like, come on, I'll just finish the story. So a person has that Yetzer Hara to finish the story, to finish his Yetzer Hara, even while they're reading the Torah. Now what's worse is that sometimes the one who's talking is the guy that's sitting in Mizrach, in front of the shul. I have this interesting habit. I came to a shul where the first rabbi, not the first, but the rabbi who preceded me, was very tough on talking during shul. The shul was silent, you could hear a pin drop. So I wasn't used to that. I didn't grow up with that. I never attended such a shul before in my life. But I respect that. That's beautiful. So what happens when people come to you with a shaila? You know, sometimes people say, you know, my son is becoming bar mitzvah today. Can he have an aliyah? Can he daven before the amud? Do I have to wait another day? They have questions that pertain right now. Am I allowed to give my two sons an aliyah together? Can a grandfather and a grandson have an aliyah one after the other? They need to know now. So I realized that if I answer them in the front of the shul, so then everyone sees me talking, so then everyone's going to start talking. So when people come up with a question, I walk out of shul with them. I say, let's talk outside. Now by doing that, I'm trying to ensure that even though legitimately, halachically, I'm allowed to answer the person, but that's what Chafetz Chaim says over here. If you're going to stand in the front and you're going to start talking, then everyone's going to start talking. So even though you might have a heter, you could say it's mutar, it's legitimate, the halacha permits it, here it's a need, a halachic need of davening. No, go outside. Because if you're going to do it up there, then everyone's going to do it. It's a little tough bringing up kids this way. I'm not saying it's fun, you know, because sometimes you want to tell your kid to say yalev yavon davening, and there are things you have to tell your son when they're davening with you. But at the end of the day, that's the point Chafetz Chaim is making now, that sometimes people are doing it in the front, and then what they're doing is doubly wrong. So everyone sees what he's doing wrong. So that's also a chilul Hashem. When a person does something wrong in public, in front of 10 Jews, what's he basically saying? I don't care that the halacha says this, I'm going to do it my way. That's chilul Hashem. What is chilul Hashem, guys? What's desecrating? Meaning, if Hashem's name is sanctified, then I don't dare transgress what he said. If I can stand publicly and transgress what he's saying, then what I'm saying is he's no different than anyone else. You tell me what to do. Sometimes I listen, sometimes I don't. Hashem tells me what to do. Well, if I'm willing to publicly transgress, that's a chilul Hashem. That's a desecration. What a person is basically inferring, what he's showing others is that he's willing to do things against what Hashem said publicly. That's why we say that any transgression that a person does in the presence of 10 people is also a chilul Hashem. And what he's done is even more grave than an ordinary chilul Hashem. As Maimonides expands in the 63rd prohibition. Look over there. Now he's also transgressed the desecration of Hashem's holy name in the Bet Knesset. So take a look. How many prohibitions a person has transgressed? Number one, Isur Lashon Hara Uchilut. The prohibition of Lashon Hara and Rechilut, Shesh B'zeh Levad Kama V'chama Lavin V'asin, which incorporates within it numerous prohibitions and proactive commandments. So that's number one. Avar Alav Elot Chalut Shem Kodshi B'fnei Asram Yisrael. He's transgressed the commandment not to desecrate Hashem's name in the presence of 10 people. Number three, Bitel Kriyat HaTorah. He didn't to his mitzvah of listening to the Torah reading. Even if he missed one pasuk or one word, that's a grave transgression. And even if someone just walks out in the middle of reading, the Gemara says harsh things about him. As the Talmud says in Tractate Brachos, how much more so this fellow that his desire to just talk his idle chatter, tell his Lashon Hara, causes him to forgo hearing the words of Hashem, the words of the Torah. So that's point number one. The next point we'll see Be'ezrat Hashem next time. So this time the Chafetz Chaim went all out to remind us how careful we have to be not to talk idle chatter in shul. Now, I recommend you look around and find a shul where people don't talk during davening. You know, it affects you then. If you come to shul and everyone's talking during davening, it's one kind of davening. You come to shul and people are quiet and they're focused and they're serious. It's a different type of davening. So the Chafetz Chaim is talking about the seriousness we have to take this idea of not talking during davening. I'm saying one of our tasks, and this is one of the great challenges after a person leaves Machon Meir, is finding a community which is going to be supportive, which is going to help us develop the way we want to. One of the major things there, I'd say three major things you have to look at when you're looking for a community. Number one is your children's education, what schools you have and what friends they'll have. Number two is the shul, what social setting you're going to be in. And number three is the friends you and your wife will have. I mean, those are three factors that people sometimes overlook. They look at their parnasa, they look at their commute, they look at their security, they look at the view, they look at a lot of things. These three are central to who you will become, because ultimately we become our children. Where you send your children, the education you send your children to is what will define the home in them. You think you guide your children, it goes the other way around, they guide you. Where you send your children, that's who you will become. And that's why it's so important that you look for a place where you have the chinuch that you want for your kids.